Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel as written to us by John. Some Greeks who had come to worship at the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and they asked him, "We would like to see Jesus." Philip went and he told Andrew. Andrew and Philip then went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them thus, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I say to you, unless a single grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it will remain just a single grain of wheat. But if it dies, it will produce much fruit. Whoever loves his life must lose it. Whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be." This is the gospel of the Lord. This central passage from the 12th chapter of John's Gospel deserves commentary. It's really put together in all of the four Gospels, one of Jesus' central themes. This whole mystery of what must die and what must live. He's going to walk the journey first himself, but then as you see in that last verse, he says, you have to do the same thing. So he's giving us what is the essential nature and path of the journey of human transformation into God. And even he has to go through it. And he describes it in a most enigmatic way. He says, each of us, himself included, is a single grain of wheat. We define ourselves by our singularity, our separateness, our difference. I'm this, you're that. And we spend most of our life over-defining that by all the externals that come our way. Where we were born, what ethnicity we have, what our looks are, what our education is. All of that is what we call the false self. That's going to die anyway. So don't over-define yourself by it, even though that's what most people do. You would think in America today the only issue is race, because that's all people have left. They don't know who they are in God. They just know they're black or they're brown or they're yellow or they're red or they're white or they're purple. All of this doesn't mean anything. That's exactly what's going to pass away. But that's all you have when you don't know God. You define yourself by externals. Externals that really don't mean anything on your deathbed whatsoever. And he says, unless this single grain of wheat, this singularity, this individuality, use whatever word you want, by which most people live their entire lives, your occupation, your intelligence, your good looks or bad looks, your health or non-health, that isn't you. Those are just accidental little teachings, little schools, things you have to learn from. But he says, unless you can let go of that, you will not find what I would call, what others would call, your true self. If you live there, you will produce much fruit. Now, you could say, brothers and sisters, that is the entire point of all religious life. That's why you're here this morning. To touch, at least for a minute, upon your true self. Who you have been since the moment of your conception and who you will be for all eternity in God. You don't create this. You don't manufacture this. You don't work up to this. You discover this. It's an awakening. It's a realization. It's an enlightenment. It's salvation. Because once you know who you are, you don't go up and down emotionally like most people do. If it's a fun day today, my emotions are up. If there's a little trial, my emotions are down. What a waste of life to constantly just be riding the roller coaster of who likes me, do I like myself, am I popular, am I rich, am I healthy, am I good looking? Well, that's going to change all the time. So you're going to wait and see how is it tomorrow. Well, I can give you, and the gospel gives you, a way to live with a peace, a constancy, a groundedness, a surrender, a truth. I don't know what's the best word for you, but you've got to discover it or you'll never be happy. You can go to all the church services you want, and if you don't discover your true self, you will not, as Jesus puts it here, bear much fruit. So to bring this point home, he is preparing the disciples to say, even I, the Christ, have to let go of who you think I am, this human body Jesus. So in a couple days, or no more than a couple, next week, we're going to celebrate the whole Paschal mystery, that Jesus himself is going to walk this journey of utterly letting go of who he thinks he is, who you think he is, so the true and eternal Christ can be revealed on Easter Sunday. And he says, whoever serves me must follow me. In other words, what I'm going to do, you also have to do. Where I am, my true servant will be, that you're going to follow one way or another on the same path. Now, much of Christianity has not, sad to say and surprising to say, emphasized actually following Jesus. When Pope Francis actually imitates Jesus, most of the world is upset, because we haven't based our religion on following Jesus and doing what he did. We've largely emphasized worshiping Jesus. So that's what you came here this morning to do, right? Worship Jesus. You do know Jesus never told you to do that, right? He never told you to worship him. He told you to follow him. And one of the most clever ways to avoid actually doing what he did is to make Jesus into an object of worship. And all churches do it. We come together and we sing songs. And I'm glad you're doing that. But actually, you can live this gospel life 7 days a week, at any place, in any moment, as long as you're living out of your true self in God. Then whatever you do is a prayer. Whatever you do is an act of gratitude, love, and communion. Too often we just go to communion momentarily on Sunday morning, and I'm glad you're going to do that in a few minutes. It's real good. But unless it leads you to realize that you in fact are in communion all the time, every day, it doesn't achieve its purposes. Just coming to church doesn't do anything for God. You've got to know that. You're not impressing God. I'm not impressing God by being here. God is already impressed. God loves you as his children. You're coming here not to change the mind of God about you, but to change your own mind about yourself. And to know that you are eternally in communion with the living God. But hardly anybody knows that. And even fewer enjoy it. I hope after this moment of sacramental communion, you can now enjoy it moment by moment for the rest of your life.